praying for the extravaganza and for all of those that are going. We're just going to give you just a couple more minutes. And matter of fact, one more minute, if you would. If you're just joining us this morning, this is the morning's master's call. And we're going to ask if you would just state your name and just tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Cynthia Cox from the Bronx, New York.
Good morning, the Bronx, New York. I heard somebody else join us. Can you also state your name again and just tell us where you're calling from?
Good morning, Angelina, North Carolina.
Angelina, North Carolina, welcome to the call this morning. Anyone else want to give us a shout-out before we begin to get the call started?
This is Ruby Sims in Houston, Texas. Good morning.
Ruby Sims in Houston, Texas, good morning. Thank you for calling this morning and joining us on the Master's Morning. All right. This morning we are going to go right into our call this morning, and we, again, just honor the Lord for each and every one of you that are on the call this morning. Again, this morning, this is Joycelyn Henderson from Hartford, Wisconsin, on the north side of town, and we are just so honored this morning for the absolute privilege to be on this call. I just want to open up, as the host would always do, Psalms 88, verse 13, and it says, "But to you, O Lord, I cry, and O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer come up to meet you." And I just bless the Lord that when our prayers meet him, that means we can look up because we know we'll have the answer that we are standing in need of. And so this morning we want to get the call on the roll so that we can go on into the word this morning. And so I believe Miss Tiffany Lauderdale, are you on? Tiffany, are you on the call this morning? If you
I am on, Pastor Henderson. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can, loud and clear. If you would go ahead and get the call started by opening us in prayer. God bless you this morning, dear.
Wow, thank you. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we rise early to declare your lordship. We come, Father God, under your covering and under the anointing of the early riser, and we come into agreement with the heavens to declare your glory. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, Father God, that you are our creator, and this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. We pray, Father God, that your provision, your power, and your plans and purposes for our lives, Father God, will line up, Father God, with the heavens, and that they will be manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness, Father God, and we know that everything else that we need shall and will be added unto us. So we just thank you. We thank you for keeping us, Father God, through the weekend and bringing us into another day, Father God. For you didn't have to, Father God, but we are so glad that you did, Father. I ask right now, Father God, that you would come through these lines of technology, Father God, and that you would allow our speaker to come, Father God, and bless our hearts, our minds, and our souls with the word, Father God, from you, Father. I pray, Father God, for traveling grace for everyone who's about to embark on a plane, a train, a bus, on foot, Father God, in car, Father God, to different destinations throughout the world to get to extravaganza, Father God. And I just pray that your presence will meet us there, that we will leave Las Vegas with something unbelievable, Father God, that they won't even know what hit them, Father God. But we know that everything that we do is because of you. So we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, and it's all due to you. And we thank you and we bless your holy name, oh God. In your name we pray these and all things. And I ask these things right now. Amen.
Amen. What an honor this morning, Miss Tiffany, for you to come and clear the airways for us to be able to get a clear word from the Lord. We give God praise, glory, and honor for you this morning. We have several prayer requests, and we will make sure that Minister Canty and those that the frontline prayer warriors get those prayer requests. I want to also add just one to it, and I pray that it is acceptable to Dr. PK. I'm not sure whether all of you on this call this morning is aware that she was involved this weekend in an accident, We are just so grateful this morning, Dr. Roberts, that the Lord in his protecting angels has protected yourself as well as E. David. And we give God praise, glory, and honor that the devil could not go no further than what he did. And so we just want to be lifting her up this morning. They're also along with others that are flying out to Extravaganza. So we just bless the Lord for safety for all of them that are going to be traveling. And the only other announcement is the Masters with a S, morningcall.wordpress.com. You can go there and find any of the archived messages that we have had over these last 3 months, and we honor the Lord for that privilege. At this time, we're going to bring up our guest minister that's going to come to break the word of life. It has been an absolute privilege for me to get the opportunity to befriend this, what I call, young woman. And I honor the Lord for her, even though she's down in that city they call Dallas, Texas, where the home of the world. I just want to stress on this call this morning, the world champions. They're called the Green Bay Packers. For any of you that may have just arrived on the call, that means they're from Wisconsin. So she's in a good place right now. And I want to bring to the line this morning no other than Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. Dr. Vanessa, I honor the Lord for the God that I see in you, and I also honor the Lord for the example of a woman of holiness, honor, and integrity. If you're on the line, if you would take the call and come and break the word of life for us.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me clearly, Dr. Day?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Well, again, I salute the Green Bay Packers, and we here in Dallas were honored to host all of Wisconsin and be in prayer for our busy airport. I was looking at the news this morning. They said this is going to be a busier traveling day than even Thanksgiving was. So we pray for safe travels for them. We salute everybody on the line. This Master's Call morning, when I got the call from Dr. PK about her accident, I got so mad at the devil. You know, when he can't get to our spirits, our will, he tries to come at our bodies and our safety. But oh, we serve a God that is more than able to keep and protect us. So definitely lift our co-host up in prayer. And Dr. J, you were the hostess with the mostest. We appreciate you for stepping right in. We're going to continue on our series this morning. I started last Monday and want to finish up today, if the Lord willing, but I want to really take my time and break the bread of life and make sure, because I'm a prophetic teacher, that we have good understanding on everything that is said and done. So if you weren't with us last Monday, let me give a quick overview and then continue on in our lesson. We are talking about the WWW for godly transitions, like the internet highway, the WWW for godly transitions. And we subtitle it The Word, The Will, The Way. The WWW for godly transitions. It's our holy internet highway to victory through His Word, His will, and His way. And the ingredients are to be willing, to be a worshiper, do it all, and to be wise. Now, the most accurate method of making sure we do everything in harmony with heaven is to be followed through our global WWW of decision making. I'm referencing a lot this morning from Dr. Bill Hammond's book. I use it extensively in our Prophetic Institute here in Dallas on prophets and personal prophecy, God's prophetic voice for today. And I'm using an analogy because when he used the will, the word, the will, the way, man, the WWW popped in my little spirit, and I said, wow, let me use that analogy of the internet highway, which we are also familiar with. And last week we talked about how you have to determine God's word on a matter and his specific will about it and his way to fulfill it. And this is our holy internet, so to speak, highway of God directing us literally how to daily live for Christ. And see, these are three traffic lights, which all have to be green before we can proceed on our way. We need the first W of his word to be green in our spirits. We definitely need it to be the will of God, and we must follow it the way God tells us to. And I spoke last week briefly, as I have all this month, and as a prophet of God, we'll be keeping it before you in your spirit all this year, the prophetic word that the Lord gave me about divine arrangement of God for 2011, the divine arrangement of God. And I talked about three main components, divine alignment, divine order, and divine justice. And we're tying this together because you've got to walk this out. We've got to live this out each and every year. And I talk each and every day of this year. And I explained about the definitions of what 11 means. So we're going to start today with a quick overview of what we talked about last week. With first was we have to have the word of God, that first W. The how. We have to be willing to obey the word. Obey is not a four-letter cuss word. I know we act like it, but it really, really isn't. And the Bible is the highest authority and has the final say on all matters. You know, I love acronyms, and this acronym I heard years ago, that the Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. And see, for a person to receive a green light on the word, he or she must have more than one verse to prove it. So you can take one verse out of context and prove anything. We talked last week about getting the whole counsel of the word. And so before the green light of the word can come on, the spirit of the word and the letter of the word must agree. God is spirit, and the spirit of the word is his nature. We talked from Galatians 5:22. We also talked about expose every thought, impression, and suggestion that comes to you from any source, regardless of how spiritual or godly it may sound. It must pass the litmus test. It must go through the filter of God's word. And if it cannot, put it on the back burner till you get complete revelation. When thoughts that come into your mind, we have to remember the Holy Spirit will never, 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 and say a few more nevers, tell you to do something that is contrary, opposite, against, or in violation to the nature of God. I don't care if you think it's a good idea. It's not a God idea if it contradicts God's word. So we talked about how the light of God's word, if we will just be honest about the word, God never has to use evil to come to a good point. God never has to use wrong to show you how to do it right. God's word will keep us on the right direction, on the highway. Then secondly, we began, which to me is the most important. We're talking about eight principles of how his will works. And I covered four, and I'm going to go over the other four and the third of his way today. The second W on our holy internet highway is the will of God. Just as God has a general will for all of mankind, he also has a specific will for each and every one of us. So how do we come to know the specific will of God? See, as I said last week, there's no specific scriptures that any of us went to decide which college to go to, or who is the right man or woman to marry, or is this the right job I should take. We all desire to be in the divine will of God. And see, God's methods, as we talked last week, are different for different people. He directed Joseph with dreams. He spoke audible voices to Moses. He whispered a still small voice to Elijah. He had Paul have a Damascus Road experience. He literally uses different methods to express his will. So some of these methods, these principles, we're going to go over, because some of God's method for revealing his perfect will, they still have to pass that first litmus test of his word. But his will, divinely directed desires, will be made plain to you. Why? Because first it means that God will cause us to desire what he wants us to have, Psalms 37:4. And then secondly, as we trust in him, he'll cause that prophetically inspired desire to come to pass. So let's talk about briefly the eight principles of how we know what the will of God is. First, we talked about last week, you'll have a rhema and a scriptural illumination. Most of us, we have rhema moments and don't even realize it. A rhema is an inspired word birthed within our own spirit. It's a true rhema word, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema word carries with it a deep inner assurance and witness of the Spirit. See, God will reveal his will by a rhema word from out of the clear blue. We talked about how things just drop in, and you're like, where'd that come from? You know it didn't come off of your radar. But it dropped in, and while other times we will receive an illumination on a particular scripture through Bible study, just through a minister, just God making it clear that God will send a quickening rhema that says, this applies to you. You know, somebody will say, oh, I don't know why that happened. And they're talking. They don't even realize why they're talking. You're like, oh, I know. God used you to speak to me. Secondly, he uses the prophet and personal prophecy. God does still use the prophetic voice today to give specific directive words to his saints about our personal lives. Now, these directive prophecies are not usually given through someone moving in the gift of prophecy, but rather through the office of a prophet, which we talked about in Ephesians 4:11. The gift of prophecy flows to everybody who calls on Jesus. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. But remember, God doesn't desire us to be prophetic junkies, to live a need from one word to one word, because his word is prophetic in its nature. And I'm so strict about teaching the balance of that. But God does not desire us to count out the prophetic when God is speaking. Too many of us are more comfortable with a psychic than we are biblical prophets that exist today. God is saying amen or oh me. And number three, we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit can make known the specific will of God. That is his J-O-B, his mission in life. Was God sent him back to be our guide, our paraclete inside of us. He's a gentleman. And he will speak through his nine gifts, especially the revelation gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. See, ministers and business people, like our artist family, need desperately know how to allow these gifts to make wise decisions in our ministries and our businesses. See, parents need these gifts for making wise family decisions. When natural knowledge is not sufficient and the Bible has not been specific, we have to lean on these gifts. Now, a choice between right and wrong is not difficult for a dedicated Christian. Getting up and on this call is a clear sign of your dedication. But when the choice is between two right things, then supernatural help is needed, because there's still a right thing and there's a divine anointed thing. Again, that good idea versus the God idea. The gifts of the Spirit are available to every Christian, and it helps us discover God's will and his heart on matters as we choose to follow him. The fourth we talked about was the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Now, to be led by the Holy Spirit does not mean that we are led only by supernatural manifestations of the gifts. Too many of us want to live a miracle-to-miracle life, and if you really read the whole counsel of the Bible, that is not how God instructs us to live. We're ordinary people called to do extraordinary things as we are yielded vessels flowing through us. But we should need bolts of lightning, the river divide every other day, and two prophetic poems to move out in God. See, the fruits of the gifts are like two sides of the same coin, and both must be in good shape for it to be spendable. But the Holy Spirit is not in competition with himself. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is not in competition with himself. Both the fruits and the gifts are manifestations of the Spirit's activity in our life. I'm going to make this real clear. The fruit of peace, the peace of God, is particularly important. Keeping your peace is very vital. Christ also instructed us to let the peace of Christ rule, that is, govern and direct our hearts. Our scripture is Colossians 3. Verse 15. And see, when you're stepping out on that unknown, we're in a season of transition when God is moving us from divine order to divine government, and that 11 represents that valley of transition and shifting and sifting. We have to understand that when we start losing our peace, that's our litmus test. When our mind is on cruise control and doesn't understand what God is doing, and when we see just major shifts in our life, on the news, everywhere we turn, see, even in the midst of the storm, you'll have a peace going, I know God's got it, when it's really of God. And he'll govern. See, for God's peace, it should override all the confusion, the doubt, the indecision. In Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In Psalms 34, verse 14, if you want to know the specific will of God, it says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. See, if you have the mind of Christ on the matter and you're being led by the Spirit, your will will find the right fruit within. If you don't have them, then the green traffic light of God's will has not turned green yet. That means do nothing. Make no commitments or final decisions until this light gives you all the true green light go-ahead that it requires. Number five, the witness, clear, or restraint of the Holy Spirit. The witness, the clearance, or restraint of the Holy Spirit. See, to know and follow God's will for our lives, then we must be very sensitive to the checks and the restraints of the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness with our spirit. That's Romans 8:16. And 16th verse of Romans is so, so pivotal every day. See, so many of us, we are just so basic sometimes because we'll know, we'll say, something told me not to do that. You know, forgetting the Holy Spirit does have a name. It ain't Leroy or boy. It's called Holy Spirit. Something said I shouldn't have done that, and I did it anyway. And we're just as sincere, but that's the lack of teaching. So that's all right. Don't be offended. Just learn today. Then when you get those checks, don't keep barreling ahead. Stop. Especially for those of us who have a prayer language, start speaking those tongues. Those of you who don't ask for it, but start saying, God, speak to my heart. Give me understanding. James 1:5 says, you don't want me, old folks say, ignorant. You don't want me ignorant. Show me, guide me, give me the wisdom so that I don't go barrel ahead. Too many times when we get that check in our spirit, we won't say, that's just me tripping. Let me just keep going. And the sad part about it, because our relationship is not intact, we aren't sure whether it is us tripping or whether it's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, go on, keep looking straight ahead and smiling over the phone. Nobody won't even know I'm talking about you this morning. See, when you spend the time with God, you'll know whether it's him or not. And this isn't even in my notes, but God is saying, this. I was taught this about 2 years ago. You've got to know the voice of the Lord for yourself. See, just like when we get on this phone and we hear different voices, before she even says her name, we know Martha Marie Preston's voice. We know Dr. J's voice. We know Dr. PK's voice. Why? Because you spent time with that voice every morning and it became familiar. KISS method, keep it simple, saints. When you keep saying you don't know the voice of God, all you have really said is you've not put in the time. And it's not a sin, but it's a sin if you continue not to put in the time to know the voice for yourself. Well, we can take it on to the house with that. But anyway, when you get those checks, stop. Verse number six, principle six, wise counsel. One of the biblical names for Jesus is counselor, Isaiah 9:6. It reveals his nature and character is what it reveals his will and his way through counseling. His name is also everlasting father and good shepherd because pastoral and parental counseling, godly advice for wiser and more mature than ourselves. It is so important when determining the will of God for our lives. We have numerous scriptures that confirm the necessity of seeking counsel before making decisions. See, this is what we do. We think we got a good idea, an out-the-park idea. We run and want to get it all together. Then we want to come back to the people. No, no, no. Before you get started, seek the counsel of God. Proverbs 11:14. He that hearketh unto wise, to counsel is wise. Where no counsel is, people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 12:15. Plans go wrong with too few counselors. Many counselors bring success. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in their latter end. See, seeking counsel is critical, but we must seek it with an open heart rather than concluding ahead of time that we know the will of God. See, you can't just go in with your mind already made up because then you're not really open to godly counsel. When we approach a pastor, a parent, a prophet, or elder, we should not talk and act as if we already have our mind settled. That attitude makes it difficult for another person to give us proper counsel. God will not. Say it to yourself, say it out loud. God will not force his counsel on any of us any more than he forces his salvation on us. It's whosoever will, let him come. Let him receive the counsel. I can tell we're going to have another session of this one next Monday. All right. Number seven principle, confirmation. And we'll finish these last two for today. one of the best-known principles for determining the will of God. That's what we're talking about today, determining his will in our lives, whether we are even, forget, in the ballpark, can we halfway get on the base, okay? One of the best principles for determining the will of God is the scriptural requirement that everything must be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses before accepting it as a fact. This principle about receiving confirmation was established way back in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 17:6, and in Deuteronomy 19:15, and reestablished under grace in the Church of the Apostles with Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:1. See, in fact, Christ insists in all serious matters that there be at least two and preferably three witnesses, and I'm going to say godly witnesses, because, you know, corrupt folks, we can agree and prod all day together, but godly witnesses before we accept a prophetic word, a word of counsel, or a rhema word. And concluding on our eighth principle of understanding God's will, unity. When more than one party is involved in a decision, agreement and unity among them is essential. Absolutely necessary. And married couples, you don't keep barreling ahead if one is not in agreement. The power of unity and one in the spirit that married couples have over any other covenant agreement is in the sight of God, in the sight of the spirit, you're seen as one. So you've got to be one in heart, mind, and spirit for God's will to be revealed. When everyone is in the specific will of God, there will be unity. That's not a cuss word, unity. At this point, we can move in the confidence that it is his general will based on the word and his specific will based on the confirmed rhema word. But these two green lights of the word and will are still not enough to act upon. The third light is the way. Because, see, a lot of times we'll have the scriptures to back us up. We'll know that this is the perfect will, the matured, divine will of God, and then we'll flunk the test and not implement it, not put it in application the way God wants us to. So next Monday, when I will still be in Las Vegas, we'll talk about that last way, the way God wants us to implement it. So again, the www for godly transitions, the holy internet highway to victory, the word, the will, doing it his way, and the way. Be willing, be a worshiper. It means an attitude of gratitude when we've accepted the will for his life. So today we ought to be lifting our heads saying, God, let your will be done in my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I put my plans, ambitions on the back burner, and I'm seeking the mind of Christ. I don't care how good it may have felt, God. I want it to pass through your filter. I want it to pass through your litmus test. I want your favor, your anointing, your protection, your provision on this will that I'm going with. And then I'll seek your face for the way. So next Monday, we will go over the green light, the third green light of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I turn it back over to my co-host for this morning, Dr. Jocelyn. The floor is yours.
God bless you, Dr. Vanessa. Thank you so much for the word of God. We must understand the will of God in every situation, and I just bless the Lord for you this morning. I am actually going to turn the call back to you. I believe that it would be pleasing to the Lord if you would just go on and close us out with prayer, with a word coming such as that. We believe that the person that has brought the word now, you should seal this word now with a word of prayer and thanksgiving. And so, again, for those of you that are on the call that received the prayer request, Minister Kathy and the rest of us that are part of this prayer intercessory, please make sure that we are standing in agreement with all of these different prayer requests, and especially those that will be traveling into Las Vegas today, Ms. Gail, as well as Ms. Dorothy, as well as the Roberts that I know are going, and then also for the will of God to be done at the extravaganza when we arrive there. We honor the Lord for you, Dr. Vanessa, and I'm going to turn the call back to you for you to also end in prayer and to close the call out. God bless you this morning.
And thank you so much for an excellent job and such a willing and supportive spirit. We so esteem you and appreciate you. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence on this call. We thank you, God, because it truly is all about you. The prayer requests that have been set up before you, the petitions that have gone before you, we thank you, God, that you are touching bodies. You are healing relationships. The prayer requests that came forth for the different relationships, we curse those spirits of rebellion, those spirits of confusion that would try to come in and get family members out of position. Father, you can go before us according to your word in Isaiah 40, verse 4, and make the crooked pathway straight and the rough places smooth. We thank you that you still are our Jehovah Rapha. We send the word of healing to all the prayer requests. We send the word of healing to Dr. P.K. Roberts, to her body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, to Minister Elisha. We just thank you, God, for the spoken and the unspoken prayer requests. We thank you for traveling mercies for those headed to Las Vegas today, and for those who are traveling here from Dallas back to their desired destinations, and anyone traveling, the blood of Jesus to surround them. We thank you for this call, that we have heard the word. We have ears to hear and a heart to receive your rhema word, that we will eat of the word, meditate, chew on it. And Father, when your word goes forth, it's gone forth unhindered, and we will eat it and digest it and walk in your will so that we can fulfill the destiny and purposes on our life. Now, as we leave this call, but never your presence, go with us this day, God. Let your will be done. Your kingdom come in our lives. Stir up the gifts of God inside of us. We curse the assignment of the enemy. He has no power or dominion, but it's all about Jesus Christ, your dominion, your authority, your power. And as we leave this master's call, the calls on each and every one of our lives, we will follow. We will go and be the ministers in the marketplace, giving you and you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go out and have a blessed day, and look forward to hugging many of you all's necks in a couple of days in Las Vegas. Bye-bye.